In the latest episode of our podcast, Some of the Parts, we hear the stories of teenagers who fled violent countries. They sought asylum at the U.S. border and then were sent to live in Idaho. Our podcaster, Adam Cotterell, learned of a group in Boise trying to make that process smoother. He has this report on pro bono legal assistance for asylum seekers.
Lawyer Nicole Durden pops into a conference room at her Boise firm to say something in Spanish to one of Laura's clients.
Información, ojalá, de progreso de la aplicaciones con inmigración. Okay.
I need to ask Durden about Laura, but I can't get her to stay in one place long enough.
Let's try 1:30. Okay. I'll put you on my calendar.
And she's gone. Laura is not a person. It's an acronym. Latin American Unaccompanied Minor and Refugee Assistance. Durden created it. She was talking to Ismael just now, whose nephew is one of Project Laura's clients. Ismael and his nephew Juan are from El Salvador. When he was 16 years old, Juan fled gang violence there and was caught trying to cross the U.S. border. He was part of that flood a few years ago of tens of thousands of unaccompanied minors, many from Central America. Juan requested asylum and was sent to Idaho to stay with his uncle Ismael until the courts decide if he can stay long term.
Tengo yo y también él.
Ismael is heard here in Spanish with a translation by recent University of Idaho Law School graduate Yadira Juarez.
Every time I go to court, I'm worried that the immigration judge might change his mind and he might deport him that day. That's something that both Juan and I are scared of every time we go.
When Juan got here, Ismael wanted to get him a lawyer. He says he'd learned from experience the importance of having an attorney.
Bueno, tengo un hermano que estuvo acá.
I have a brother that was here previously, and in the third hearing, they deported him.
Ismael thinks if his brother had a lawyer, he would not have been deported. A study released last year by the American Immigration Council says that undocumented immigrants with legal representation are far more likely to have successful outcomes in their cases. In some situations, the chance of being allowed to stay in the U.S. was almost 5 times higher with a lawyer. But immigration courts do not have to provide a lawyer if someone can't afford one. And according to that same study, the vast majority of people in the immigration court system don't have representation. When Juan was processed, Ismael told the judge he was looking for a lawyer he could afford. The judge gave him more time to look, but warned that Juan's case may have to move forward with no attorney. That's when they found Project Laura.
I began to see a surge of these types of cases in my own practice, and they seem to me to be the neediest of cases.
Nicole Durden describes encountering a wave of asylum seekers coming through her office doors, and she had nowhere to send them.
There is no entity in Idaho that a person can receive pro bono legal services or lo bono legal representation in the deportation court in Idaho.
So she decided to create one. She got a couple other lawyers on board, but still not nearly enough to meet the need. So she thought, not enough lawyers? I know where there's a bunch of almost lawyers. In addition to running her own law firm, Durden teaches in downtown Boise at Concordia Law School, which agreed to host the project as a law clinic. She recruited final year law students from Concordia and the U of I, adding Spanish majors from Boise State to help interpret. They launched Project Laura in January, and since then have taken on 12 cases of unaccompanied minors and adult asylum seekers. Durden says the students do pretty much everything a full-fledged attorney would do on these cases. Yadira Juarez, the recent U of I law grad, has been Ismael's lawyer in all but name since the project began. She translates Ismael's thoughts on having his nephew's fate in the hands of students.
I mean, maybe they don't have the experience, but they know immigration law and they are capable of doing a good job. I would have wanted to continue working with her, but she couldn't.
That's one drawback of having students do this work. Immigration cases often take several years, and a student can only do the job for a semester or two. Juarez says when Ismael and Juan came to her in January, she figured out that Juan could apply for a special legal status that would greatly increase his chances of staying in the country. But he could only apply if his guardianship issues were resolved before he turned 18.
I remember calling the court trying to get a hearing. And the next available hearing wasn't till May because that's how backed up the court system is right now. This was particularly important because the client turned 18 in April.
Juarez couldn't get a guardianship hearing any sooner, so she asked a judge to give them a hearing on a separate matter that didn't really need a hearing. Then, at that hearing, she convinced the judge to also consider the guardianship issue. The ploy worked. Juarez was able to wrap it up 2 days before Juan turned 18, which meant she was able to apply for him to get this status called SIJS.
I have no doubt in my mind that if he would have not gone to Project Laura, he would not be able to apply for SIJS. There's no way that they could have navigated the system by themselves. It wouldn't have happened.
Juarez is taking the bar exam in July and then hopes to get a job practicing immigration law. She's handing Juan and Ismael's case over to a Concordia student who will take it for the summer and maybe into the fall. Nicole Durden says she'd like to see Project Laura grow, but it's so new, they're just focusing on keeping it afloat. For KBSX News, I'm Adam Cotterell.
To hear stories of unaccompanied minors arrested on the U.S. border now living in Idaho, check out the latest episode of our podcast, Some of the Parts. It's on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and at BoiseStatePublicRadio.org.